Blog Talk Radio.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in and delivered life from hell and filled my soul. Oh, it filled my heart in love and wrote my name above. Now just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Oh, now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear us. Think it's right, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer yearning as your heart's heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a little cheer, and the crowd about me hides the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears away. Well, come on, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will clear our faces right, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer as your heart heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right.
Well, say good evening each and every one of you. This is Pastor Mike Pidgey with the Golgotha Church of Christ here in Chicago, Illinois, ministering evangelist here, and just having a great time serving the Lord today. We've had an awesome day today. My wife and I was able to go out to worship along this morning with the Colonial Village Church of Christ, asking you to continue to keep that congregation in prayer as their shepherd, Brother Charles Smith, the Lord has called him home, but his wife, the widow Sandra Smith, a beautiful gem is still there, along with a wonderful congregation. And so we're praying for them as they're going through transition process and doing a marvelous job. It's just great to see and embrace so many of them. And we got a chance to hear an outstanding sermon today, my brother Terry Atwater Sr. Good to see Mom Atwater as well. But our purpose today was just to go and encourage and to show our support to that great congregation. Lord will be with them. And so we got a chance to spend a lot of great time there and see some past members. It's wonderful. Then we got a chance to go out and grab a bite to eat and take a little time, and now we're here for worship this evening. So let's sing a couple songs, have a word of prayer, then we will have our communion, and then we will be feasting off of God's word. God's word. You know, we have online giving here, so you have three ways in which you're able to do that. If you're going to a PayPal account, you can go to michael.pd at michael.pd4484 at gmail.com, or you can go to our Golgotha website, www.golgothachurchofchrist.com, and then you go over to the slot that says donations, and you can either give it tithe an offering there, or you can actually just get a general love an offering of a dollar or anything more, anything to help to support the ministry. And then we also have the Cash App as well, if that works for you, which is $GCOC1. So you have three options on what to do that. Many people have an opportunity to do that. Good to see Sister Lopez all this evening. I hope everything is going well with you and that great pronosticator, my brother Neil Lopez. Amen, somebody. Good to have you guys this evening, and praying for the Lopez's as well. Brother Neil is halfway through, ready to just jump through. I know he is, and God has given him a wonderful sabbatical and given him a time to just really reflect and to heal in more ways than one. Ministers need downtime. They need downtime to come back up and be able to show the goodness of God. Moses even went up on the mountain, and it takes some time away so God can minister to him. So this mountaintop experience is going to be a blessing to the church at hand. Sing a couple more songs. Amazing grace, How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Think I want to change the song. Change the song. What fellowship, what a joy divining on the everlasting arms, and what a blessedness, what a peace is my leaning on the everlasting arms. Water is wonderful. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all alarm. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all alarm. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Let us together pray. Come, righteous Father, in the sweet name of Jesus. Father, to you we give honor and praise today. Thank you the best you know how. We thank you for just feeling God, for beside you there is no other. And Father, the more deeper in faith we go with you, the more that we understand who you are and what you're doing in our life, the more awesome you become to us. But we're left at all like wet puppies with our mouths wide open every time you do something. And it's always miraculous every time you wake us every morning. So, Father, we just thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us from the beginning of life until this present moment. Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen us and bless us in our daily walk as we look to the hills and with cometh our help. Our help must come from thee. Special prayer for the Colonial Village congregation today. Ask you to continue to strengthen and bless them as they continue to move in the process that you would have for them in their ministerial search and other areas that they are going to be working on. Father, we just thank you for that beautiful congregation. Ask you just to be with them under the leadership of the late Charles L. Smith and his wife, Sister Sandra Smith. And so his widow, Sister Sandra Smith, we're asking for continued prayers for her. Ask you to continue to bless her, be with the kids, be with the daughters, be with that great congregation, that they continue to go forward in the vision that has been set forth and continue to move the roadmap accordingly. Father, we ask you to continue to strengthen us where we are weak, build us up where we've been torn down. Special prayer for my brother, great pronosticator in Maywood, Brother Neil Lopez. I ask you to bless him and keep him, Father, and keep him close to the cross as he continues to grow in strength and in merit. Father, we ask you to continue to allow his body to heal. He's like a stallion, Father, just continue to run fast and run strong. And so sometimes you need to take a break. And so, Father, we thank you for the sabbatical break that you're giving him, Father, and that he will know that he will come back strong with a vengeance, Father, as he continues to feed God's people the corn that you have for us. be with wife, Sister Lopez, and that great congregation over there, that leadership on the resurrection, Father. Continue to bless them and keep them in ways, you know, they stand in need of. Be with all of us. We strive to make heaven our home. Father, we ask you just to continue to strengthen us day in and day out. We're thanking you for the jewelry ministry that we're working on. Father, we pray that it will bless someone else as well, and then also help us to achieve our goal of being able to help feed the homeless this fall, this winter, and be able to send youth to college in 2019, Father, and then other areas of ministry as we see that everyone is going through something, Father, that we'll be able to help out in other areas accordingly as you would see it fit for us to do. So we ask you to continue to bless us and keep us, keep our health strong. Pray for my cousin Carmel Jackson, Father, who recently had a stroke. Father is also in the hospital there in Munster. Ask you to bless her and keep her in ways, you know, she readily stands in need of praying for Toya, and just ask you to continue to bless them and keep them accordingly. Also praying for the rest of my family, continue to strengthen them. Praying also for my sister Phyllis, who had rotator cuff surgery some weeks back. I believe she's back at work now, but praying for that healing process. Healing from the inside takes a lot longer than the outside, so Father, because oxygen can get to it. So we just ask you, Father, continue to bless them and keep them in ways, you know, they really stand in need of. Thank you for the doctors and nurses that minister to the physical body, Father. We're praying for the election that's going to be taking place, Father, that everyone gets out and votes, and you make sure that they understand that their vote does count. And we ask you to continue to bless us and keep us as we continue to stand strong and encourage others to use their God-driven ability and cast that vote. Pray for my wife, ask you to bless her and keep her where she stands in need of. Pray for my mother. Father, we're thanking you for no broken bones or anything, but she did fall here a couple of days ago. Father, that has been able to get back out and keep moving. And Father, and just ask you to continue to be with her health accordingly, Father. We just thank you for my brother Mo and all those that are working so diligently with her. Now, Father, as we continue to go to the cross today, I'm asking you to correct us when we're wrong, build us up when we're weak, and strengthen us when we've been torn down. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' holy divine name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Communion time. Alas, and indeed, my Savior bleed, and did my soul then die. Were he devote that sacred wind for such a worm as I. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. We find in Acts 20:7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23. And he said, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he broke it, he gave thanks and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he also took the cup. After he had supped, saying that this cup is the New Testament in my blood, drink you all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation unto himself, not concerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick and weakly among them, and many that sleep. And today, because we take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, many times we find ourselves dealing with the tragedies of that. Let us together pray for the bread and the wine. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart, as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You may now take up the bread and the wine. of grief can Mary pay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. Tis all that I can do. It was at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy of the day. Amen. Good to see you, Sister Miranda Stevenson, as well as Eva Williams. Glad to have you with us this evening. Zane, I see you there. Praise God for you and the grandbabies. God bless you. And so we're just having a great time. My wife saw Leon Johnson. See you all guys coming on. Praise God for you. We're just having a good time worshiping Him. Let us go to God in prayer. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Now, as we get ready to go to the Word of God, which is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path, Lord, we're asking you to continue to strengthen us and bless us in ways you know we so readily stand in need of. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. If you have a copy of God's manuscript, would you turn to the book of Daniel? Love the book of Daniel. Teaches us so much about faith. And if you have any comments, or if you'd like to call in on our broadcast line, again, we're also broadcasting in Canada as well as Norway at this point in time, along with the continental United States, on fighting and incarcerated mind with the incarnated Christ. Again, my name is Mike Peavy. For those of you who didn't get it, ministering evangelist here at the Golgotha Church of Christ. And we'd like you to call in. Call in if you can at 619-924-0767. Again, that's 619-924-0767. One more time. 619-924-0767 on our blog talk line. And at the completion of the message, we'll be able to talk with you and be able to hear how you're doing, also what the message may have done for you, may have helped you, or what you may have got from that. Thank you so very much in advance. But as we rush to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, it's such a strong message, because we see here Daniel captivity in Babylon. But I want to tell you, our motto here is fighting an incarcerated mind with an incarnated Christ. You don't have to be behind iron bars, folks, to be in captivity. Some people are divorced in the house. Amen, somebody. Some people are having problems at work because they don't know how to interact with one another. Amen, somebody. Sometimes, Lord, time is just an issue. Amen, somebody. Okay, I'll get back to you, Leah. That would be wonderful if you for a donation, if you want to go to our website, www.golgothachurchofchrist.com, under the donation section, and you can give a donation there, love offering accordingly, or you can go to our Cash App, $GCOC1, or you can also go to our PayPal account, michael.pv4484@gmail.com. Type it in later and I'll get that from you. Good to see you, Tracy Rose. Amen, this evening. Daniel chapter 1 is where we're at today. Good to see all of you. God, I know God is blessing you because you're still on the this time side of living, trying to get to heaven in a very powerful way. Captivity is something that happens because you find yourself boxed in. You find yourself shackled somewhere, but you don't have to have your hands or your feet bound. Many times we are shackled in the mind. Have you seen, talk to somebody, they look like a great package on the outside, but as soon as they open their mouth, you thought it was a Twilight Zone. You don't know what's going on because they find themselves in such a stir. And let me say this here. If you're under too much stress, stress is a form of captivity. And stress can kill you. We can just go down roll call and find out how many people that have been stressed out look like they was doing fine. Smile on their face, having a great time. But when you actually see what's going on, when you pull back the cover, you peel back the skeleton, you find out, man, they were really going through something. And they didn't. All that smile was no more than a help wanted sign that nobody paid attention to. I know about you in the rural areas when you hear a siren. It means a warning, and you pull over to the road, and you get out the way, and you let the emergency vehicle, fire truck, police off, EMT through. But here in Chicago, where we hear sirens all the time, people have now become numb to the fact. So here you have someone in an emergency vehicle. They have to halt their horn as well as run their siren in order to get people to move and get out of the way so they can travel. Why? Because it's an emergency, but they are finding themselves stuck. Have you found yourself stuck today? Your position of being stuck may be your captivity. Many times it's based off relationships, but many times, if I tell the truth, anytime I want to point one finger at somebody else, there's three more pointing back to me. There's a decision or more multiple compounding decisions that I have made and that you may have made that have got you in the position that you are. But let me tell you, there's help. Thank God for Jesus, because Jesus will reach down and meet you where you're at in order to help to elevate you on that elevator of love, that escalator of love, in order to pull you out of the miry clay and give you legs to stand upon. Oh, amen, somebody. I know what I'm talking about. And so, faith in God is so important because faith is a substance of things not seen. It's the evidence, it's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. If you don't hope, then it ties to your faith. The substance of things hoped for, a two-part word, sub meaning under, stance meaning what we stand on. You ever been in the subway? I'm not talking about going there and getting you a cold cut sandwich. I'm talking about being in a subway or a submarine where it goes under, right? Well, a substance means that we stand, and what is up under us is our foundation that holds us up. And what does the text say? Faith is the substance or the foundation that holds you up. And it's your faith that people see. That is the evidence of things that are not seen. Good to see you, Sister Brenda Gilbert. Husband did a magnificent job this afternoon with Adwater as well. Just good to see them. Good to see you guys. Praying for you. Praying for you. I know that you're feeling it as well. And so praying for you during this transitional period. I have not forgotten, even though I have not been as visible as normal. But anytime you see my wife, then you know you've seen me. And so what I want to tell you today is you don't have to be in captivity. We serve a God who sets high and looks low, a God who gives you everything that you will ever want, ever need, a God that supplies our every need and then gives us some things that we want as well. Amen, somebody. The child of God has no reason to hang his head when he has a God that's so great that holds them up. But many times, we don't look to God. We look at our own self, or we look at other things. We look at our condition, and we've taken our focus off of what is more prevalent. And that's why we find ourselves in situations, making decisions that would not be pleasing and acceptable to God. Here in Daniel chapter 1, we see Daniel make some decisions. And I want you to put yourself in the place of Daniel in the midst of whatever your captivity may be. It may be the thorn in your side. It may be health. It may be a death that's recently taken place. It may be something that you're going through. But I want you to know, even on this day, no matter what it is, God cares for you. God loves you so much that he's willing to die for you. Here Jesus left the pinnacle of heaven, came down to this dead world in the cesspool of sin. Why? He never sinned, but so that you and I can have a right to the tree of life. You know, friends that won't even stand up for you, here is Jesus, the Messiah who died for you. That's a real friend. A friend that'll be there to the end. And then he's Alpha, and he's also Omega. He's going to be the very one to carry you to heaven. Amen, somebody. If we think about the history of Daniel is centered in a time where God had to wake Israel up, so to speak. Why would you say that? Because Israel got so complacent and became such murmuring Israelites, always complaining that they forgot the goodness that was in front of them. And so God had to send them into captivity so they would know that he is God. Let me ask you this. How many times you had to go through something, like a hamster on a proverbial wheel, before you recognize that God is the one that's got you through? How many times, good to see you, Sister Ruby Williams, do you have to realize that God who has kept you? God takes care of fools and babies, and I'm not in diapers any longer. I know it ain't my driving skills. It's God taking care of me. I know it ain't my speech. It's God taking care of me. I know it ain't my skill. It's God taking care of me. God has given me a gift, but it's him navigating my life so that I can be what he would like for me to be. Amen, somebody. So I want you to understand. I'm glad you can feel it, babe. Because God is real. He's real. We live in a society where people are hurting. Are you hurting today? What are you going through? What is bothering you today? That may be your very captivity. And God ain't going to let you run away from it. Many times we have to face our problems. And as we're done, once we face our problems, we make the right connection to our issues, the things that we need to do, then God is pleased. Good to see you, Brother Dwayne Anderson. Somebody, we understand that you don't have to be in captivity behind iron bars, right? Matter of fact, people are lonely. And they ain't even shackled up. I ask you to take a piece of paper right now. Get a pen out and just start there. Write 10 names of people you know need to go to Sing Sing. You probably have to turn the paper over and keep writing. Preacher, you just want 10? But then if I ask you to grab another piece of paper, we're talking about nobody else. Let's talk about ourselves. What are some of our bad issues? Start scratching your head. You don't want nobody to know what's going on. But I want you to know, even those things that you're trying to hide, God knows. And let's make it clearly plain to you. People that know you're going through something too. But people that love you will be there for you and will show up when everyone else leaves. We'll make it in the middle of the night. We'll answer the call. We'll be around when you need them. We'll help get you out of a jam. Those are the folks that love you. Not the folks who are looking for their 15 minutes of center stage so they can make grand fioso speeches. When I'm in captivity, when I'm dealing with bondage, when I'm dealing with a thorn on my side, the last thing I need is someone to play on my emotions. That's where we got Jesus, because Jesus loved us, that he just acted on our behalf. He didn't even ask us. He acted on your behalf because you know you needed it. And then he says, will you follow me? Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. And we see here, we'll find out in the second chapter, about the various kingdoms. After my brother passed, the other one is trying to kill himself by drinks. You're absolutely right. I see that right there, Zane. See, many people are depressed today. Thank you for sharing that. Because many people are depressed today. Many people don't know which way to turn. They think the answer's in the bottle. The answer's not in the bottle. The answer's not in a funny cigarette. The answer is not in illicit sex. The answer is not in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The answer ain't even in music. Or even though society, there's a psychological attachment to that. You may have to understand the answer to man's problems is Jesus. Satan wants to gorilla glue you. Anybody ever used gorilla glue before? Well, you just put a strip of Gorilla Glue down, right? And you adhese it to whatever it is. And when you go away, after a while, when you come back, that Gorilla Glue is expanded. You got more than what you asked for, but it's still holding on to you. Sin is like that. Sin is Gorilla Glue. It grabs a hold of you and don't want to let go. Amen, somebody. And you always get more than what you bargained for. Look at him, Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. Daniel chapter 1. Underline or highlight Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king of Babylon. Now, Jerusalem was a place of peace. Salem means peace. Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem, eerie, peacefulness, right? So Jerusalem is the place where God has already prophesied that he was going to establish his kingdom, his church. And Daniel 2:44, Micah 4:1, Zechariah 1:16, Isaiah 2:1-4, right? Luke 24, I mean, we just go on and on and on. But Jerusalem is the place where here Nebuchadnezzar, right, who was the king of Babylon, puts the Jews in Jerusalem, puts them in Babylonian captivity. That's right. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. Look at verse 2. The Lord handed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, over to him, Nebuchadnezzar. First thing I want you to understand, no one can take hold of you without getting God's permission. And if you cut up bad enough, God is going to wake you up. There's many people being woke up right now based on the fact that they would not adhere to sound wisdom or sound advice. The Lord handed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon. He took the stuff from the house of God, and he took it back to the land of Babylon, where he was, to the house of his God. Now, we know that there's a conflict of interest right there. Anytime you take what belongs to a big G and give it to a little G, there's going to be a problem. God in heaven is the big G. No one compares to him. I don't care what you want to call it. No one compares to the God of heaven. And so you took guilt and you take it into the house of a little God and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. He thought he was something because he was running it. But he didn't understand that he's just a pawn in the game right now. the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of the court officials, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defects, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom. Look at this now. Knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. What I want you to know is even the world don't want a loser. The world wants folks who have it together. God wants folks who helps get it together. The world wants folks who already has it together. So look at the type of people that they're looking for. You may find yourself on this list without physical defects, so they can see. Good looking, you think you look good? Suitable for instruction and all wisdom. Right? Knowledgeable, perceptive, and have good sight, and capable of serving in the king's palace. Right? And to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. He wants someone that's capable, that are sharp men, that are able to learn. He's going to disciple them so they learn the Chaldean way and they follow the Babylonian gods, right? And they follow the Babylonian way under his leadership. They need to know the language. They need to know the literature so they can read. But the world ain't looking for no dummies. The world ain't looking for no dropouts. The world is looking for astute folks, people that have themselves together. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. So they got to drink and eat royally. They had the best of them that was offered at that time. They were to be trained for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to serve in the king's. A three-year apprenticeship, learning how to speak, learning how to talk, learning the laws of the land, learning how to read the literature, right? Learning the norms and what was expected of them. Drinking the best, eating the best, growing up the best, being nourished as the king would have them to be, so they can serve for the king. Among them were the descendants of Judah. There were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them other names. He gave the name Belteshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. What do you see here? What I want you to see is that the world will give you names that your parents or that God has not given you. Now all of a sudden you find yourself more attached to these worldly names, and now all of a sudden the name starts to mean something, and you start acting and living and walking and breathing under this strain of worldliness rather than being different. But let's see what takes place. Even though the world names you, you don't have to give up. Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's table. Those provisions that were brought from the king's table, rich food, good food, right? Not no garbage, not no scraps, not stuff fed to animals. They were well prepared food, strong drink, the best of the best of the land. Daniel, who was God's man, even though he's under captivity under Babylon, he said, I will not defile myself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. I'm going to be distant. When's the last time you took a stand that it may cost you your life? Do you have that much faith in God? He says, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's food where the king's drink. So he asked permission, respect. He asked permission from the chief official not to defile himself. So you have to be sharp in order to defeat Satan and his gang. God has granted Daniel favor and compassion from the chief official. Here he said to Daniel, my lord, the king assigned your food and drink. I'm afraid of what would happen if you saw your faces looking thinner than those of the other people, of the other young men your age. You would endanger my life and the king. God gave him favor so that he could reason. He says, I'm willing to do what you're trying to do here, but you're not going because the king stuff is going to make you look fat. It's going to bring you up. It's going to nourish you. You're not going to look like everyone else, and my life is on the line. I'm here to guard you. I'm here to bring you up. And if I don't do what's right, I may endanger my life. It may cost me my life and maybe some family stuff. So Daniel said to the guard, asking permission and understanding his position, then God won't leave him. He thanks God for giving him favor, and he asks the guard. He says, when the chief official assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he says, please test your servant for 10 days. Let's put this through a test. And we know we're here for 3 years, but let's put it through a 10-day test. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Do this pulse. And the problem is we don't have the right pulse. Just give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Make this a 10-day rundown trial. And then what I want you to do, because I have enough faith in my God, that we're not going to be looking, sadly. He says, you examine us. You take a look at our appearance and at the appearance of the other young men who are eating the king's food. Make a comparison and deal with your servants based on what you see. See, sometimes we have to say, God, I need you to show up. I need you to show them the difference and give me what I need. Chief official agreed with them about this and tested them for 10 days. So for 10 days, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all they did was eat vegetables. All they did was drink water. They were on Daniel's diet, not the king's. Rich, sumptuous guy. For 10 days, and he said, let's take a look. Let's put it side by side. Let's do a parallel. Look what the Bible says in verse 15. At the end of 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men were eating the king's food. You know why? Because God grows the vegetables. God provides us water. What God has given is perfect. The more so that God touched them. So they would not be looking homely, looking badly, looking malnourished. But they looked better than those eating the king's food. Amen, somebody. They look healthier than those eating the king's food. Must be something to God's vegetables and water diet. And I'm finding that out myself. At the end of 10 days, they look better and healthier than the young men who were eating all the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. This 10-day We thought I was worried because it was going to kill me because I was looking worse. But no, this actually is working. I'm going to have favor. So now he recognizes they're going to look better than all of a sudden when he presents us, he may get a promotion. Oh, man, let's keep doing what we're doing. Vegetables and water. what you ask for, we're going to let God do what he do. Everybody else gets everything else. So they separated themselves. They sanctified themselves. We will not defile ourselves with the king's food. We will not be like everyone else. Sometimes you got to take a stance. Sometimes you have to make a difference when others won't. And their faithfulness was rewarded. See, at the end of the test, at the end of 3 years, at the end of the day, can God say, well done? At the end of the 3 years, not just the 10 days, the official said, well done. At the end of 3 years, we'll see what takes place. God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Now, they were to learn the literature. They were to learn the language, right, so that they could work in the king's vineyard there. But they were supposed to be grown up by the provisions of the king. They depended on God. There's a lesson in there. Did you hear me? You see, you need to depend on God. Give God your all. Let God make a way for you. They said he's a way maker. He can make a way for you. Kids, he's so busy that he don't think about me. God can't wait to bless you. He'll open up heaven and pour out blessings as he does every morning. Problem is, many times we miss our blessings because where is a clog in the drain? What's a clog in the drain? It's unrepentant sin. Look at what God did. Because of their faithfulness, because they hung on, they would not worship the other gods. God gave these four young men knowledge. You want to know something? God will give it to you. And understanding. Not only will you learn, you will have an understanding. You got the total picture as to why things are happening. In every kind of literature and wisdom, whatever they threw at them, these guys were sharp. They were sharper and more astute than the other man. God is sanctifying them. God's setting them apart. Daniel also understood visions and dreams and every kind. At the end of the time that the king had said to present them, that's 3 year time, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, you know, can you understand how nervous he may have been? Because he knows, no one else knows, that they've just been eating vegetables and water for 3 years. Where everyone else been eating very rich food, dining cordiously, drinking of the king's best wine and beverages. All they had was water. All they had, plain, versus rich. Sounds like rich and poor in food and in consumption. God would rather reach down for those that look or act or feel like they don't have much. And with God, he balances it out and lets you know that you actually have more than those who think they have something. Amen, somebody. At the end of the time, verse number 18, as the king had said to present them 3 year time, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. Here they are, just as you asked. The king interviewed them. Know what it's like to be put on the witness stand by a king? And among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. People will always be the best people. Stay close. So they began to serve in the king's court in every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about, found them 10 times better. Not just the margin better, they were 10 times better than all the diviners, priests, and mediums prior to them. I don't know if you missed it. There was a challenge of bringing these folks on, Nebuchadnezzar said. And it was a Nebuchadnezzar's plan. We're going to train them for 3 years. I'm going to provide for them provisions for 3 years. And at the end of that, I want them to run my kingdom. Don't miss your blessing. God said, you follow me, and I'll position you so that you will have advantage even though you're in someone else's kingdom. Positioning his people. Maybe you don't know why you are at that job that you're at today. God is positioning his people. Maybe you don't know why you have been talking or listening or put in such a situation, because God is positioning his people. The world thinks they have an upper hand. But notice, they looked healthier, they were more fit, they were better, they were more knowledgeable, they were more intelligent. And so the king chose them, God's people, not knowing that there was a disparity, not knowing the sanctification. So you ain't got to tell nobody. God will just glow through you and then position you accordingly. So now God has his people in place in order to look out for his people that's in captivity on the Babylon. And they were 10 times, found out to be 10 times better than all the diviners, priests, mediums, and the entire kingdom. Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Let me tell you something as I close this lesson. God's people are the best people in the world. If they hold on to God's unchanging hand, my wife always has a saying, keep our little hand in God's big hand, and everything's going to be all right. Can you imagine how scared or how fearful they may have been, knowing they have been captive, knowing they're under Babylonian captivity, but yet, no matter what you say, I'm going to stand for the Lord. I want you to do this. I'm not doing that. I want you to eat this. I'm not eating that. I'm going to let God take care of it. And in the end, God will position. As we close, you're here today and you've been fighting or shadow boxing with yourself. You don't know why that you can't get ahead. Feel like you're on that hamster on a proverbial wheel going round and around, seeing the same faces or different faces, but the same territory. I want you to know that God works in his timing, not yours. He is a great daytimer. And when he's ready to move, you move just like that. I want you to understand that God has for you what is for you, and it's not for no one else. But it's predicated on your allegiance, your committed allegiance to God. God wants to know about your faith. Your faith has vocabulary. Your faith speaks for you. You don't have to say nothing. We just analyze what you do. God wants to take a look at your actions so he knows what you're doing. Then we serve a God that has infrared vision, that knows even the intent of your heart before you even think what you thought you thought. Before I thunk it. That ain't good preach. That ain't good English, but that's good preaching. Before I thunk it, God knew about it. And so God wants to set us on the straight and narrow. If you is there, you have not given God your all. You find yourself in Babylonian captivity, you find yourself in daily captivity. You're mad at the presidency, but you didn't vote. you're mad at the decision on the job, but you went to, when they asked for your opinion for you to type in your evaluation, you was true. You weren't even at work that day. You're just mad with 2-3 D's. Let me tell you something. All that anger, if it's not channeled constructively, will become cancer to your system. And then you'll want to know why you go to the doctor and they give you a long, drawn-out name that you can't spell, give you a prescription you can't read, you take it to a pharmacist that you don't know, they hand you a prescription that they read that you don't know what it was, you don't know what they put in there. But by faith, you take it anyhow. One pill 3 times a day or whatever it is, right? Hoping to get better. And over time, they could have been nothing but sugar pills or placebo. Over time, you got better. Most of our problems are psychological issues. We are physiological and psychological people. And if you don't let God deal with your psyche, you don't let God fix you from the inside out, fixed you will not be. You know why we go from one relationship to another relationship? And all of a sudden, you slip up and call the new person, the other person's name, because you have some baggage that you have not come to grips with. And you carry that baggage into this new relationship. And so now this new relationship, although wanting to start out fresh, you have to deal with the contamination of that. Folks, don't be too proud to beg. Give God you and let God take care of your life. If you just give God you, God will take care of you all. He'll feed you. He'll help you pay your bills. He'll give you health. He'll give you strength. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you the ability to discern. He'll make you smile when everyone else is frowning. Oh, yes, God can turn a smile on a frown and turn it upside down. No longer do you have to run around like that proverbial clown with a painted on smile on your face. But you know you're mad on the inside. God fixes you on the inside so that once all the mascara and all the makeup comes off, people see the real you. Can we peel back some layers right now? You and God. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What God has for you is easy, right? He gives you power when you feel powerless. But he also puts it in the barometer of control so you're not like a wild stallion running without a bit of power under control. Learn that from the meekest man that ever walked this earth, Jesus. Never uttered a word. Slaughtered. If you're here today, you want to break the shackles of your mind. There's nothing like an incarcerated mind. We at Golgotha Church of Christ are fighting an incarcerated mind. I'm helping you. I want to help you today. Give you the keys to open up the lock. That you cannot be shackled. You can be free. 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 Truth will set you free. If you need Jesus, if you need anything, if you have this invitation is to you, call in on 619-924-0767 and we can pray for you. Type it in on Facebook Live and we'll pray for you. You want to talk more, give me a call and we'll talk about it. Amen. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Touch my eyes that I might see all your goodness, your grace, and power. Stay beside me every hour. Be my strength, be my living breath. Keep me sheltered, keep me fed. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Holy Spirit, rescue me. Set my soul completely free. Beside Jordan, make my bed. And in God's bosom, lay my head. Let me live in a brand new place. See my blessed Savior's face. Holy, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell in me. Amen, Zane. I see you. We're here to help. Brother Will Cook's looking on. Good to see you, my brother. Again, you can call in at 619-924-0767. Let's go to the line. I have my wife on. Definitely want to give her an opportunity to speak out and have some encouraging words of what she may have picked up from the lesson. Honey, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yes, definitely. The lesson was awesome, as always. Tonight we learned how, if you're free in God by just trusting and believing that when God makes a promise to us, if God will deliver his promise, he promised to take care of us, he promised he would deliver us, and we just have to put our trust and our faith in that promise and understand that he will never leave us or abandon us. So tonight help us to see, although they went through what they went through, they put all their trust in God, and in the end they were 10 times better. Continue to believe that God will, and God can, and he will. Just keep believing that God's promise is God's promise.
Amen. Ain't that a blessing that they weren't just marginally better, but they were 10 times better? Don't you understand, with God, you can be 10 times better. You have the advantage over anyone in the world. You think you don't measure up? You measure up and then some with God. God will give you the overflow and the abundance. Have a great day. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's have a closing prayer, and we'll see you soon. God bless in the name of the Lord. Father, by the sweet name of Jesus, I ask you to be with these dear people, Brother Wilbur Cook, my wife, Zane Gillian. Father, be with Sis, stepping her way she stands in need of. Father, we're praying for Sister Lopez, Brother Lopez, Brother Dwayne Anderson this evening, Sister Marcy Ray Bonds, praying for her, my big brother Art, she'll be with them. Praying for Ruby Williams today, Dwayne Anderson today, Brenda Gilbert today. Praying for her husband, Leonardo D. Gilbert, Tracy Moats today. Father, I ask you to bless them all and keep them where they stand in need of. Leon Johnson today. Father, I ask you to strengthen them accordingly. Praying for my mother today. Praying for Eva Williams today. Praying for Meredith Stevenson today. Father, praying for Eugene Carter today. Praying for Brittany Ellaby today. Father, we ask you to strengthen all of us in ways we stand in need of. And then, Father, before we leave today, we heard about someone whose son is missing. Father, but we know that you know where they're at. So we're praying on your GPS system to reveal that information so that the son or the daughter can come home. Father, we're praying that there's been no foul play, and we pray that they will be restored back accordingly. Father, we put this in your hands. We love you. We adore you. We ask you to correct us when we're wrong. Put us up when we're weak and strengthen us when we've been torn down. And all these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for again. Give them Jesus Christ and them crucified. I want you to do something today that your future self will be proud of. God bless you in the name of the Lord. Talk to you soon.